Whiskey and Zone. Whiskey and Zone. Sounding his own. Hope is reborn.
Whiskey and Zorn, I kind of like that.
That's the 1-2 punch.
Hope is reborn. That's the key line.
Yes.
Did they say tooting his own horn? Is that in there?
I
don't think they did. That's in the extended cut. That's in the dance mix.
How are you, Eric?
Really good to see you. I'm really good. It's creepy, crazy, freaky warm out.
But, yes, it is.
It's like October almost, right?
I believe tomorrow will be October, and it's 80 degrees out.
There have been 80 degrees days in October.
Mm-hmm.
There really have and will be.
It's possible.
The seasons are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's a denier. She's denying my freak out here.
Well, it's very disconcerting for her to see somebody so stable as yourself do that.
Yeah.
I understand. I get it.
She gets it.
Eric, here's a tradition we've been doing for quite a while, the Tweets of the Month.
Tweets of the Month. I know that September is not quite over, and there may be some tweets that would belong in this list of the top 10 tweets.
They might sneak in at the last minute.
And if there are later today, this is what the emergency broadcast system is for.
Right.
I will break into regularly scheduled programming and read those tweets.
Oh, I hope that
happens. As of right now,
yeah,
these are the top 10 tweets of the month. And they will be, we will link them off the Bill and Wendy page for the attributions and stuff, because I don't even know how to pronounce some of these attributions.
We still have roughly 12 and a half hours for things to change, but as of this moment.
Hilarity might well ensue.
All right,
so you tell me
enough.
If these are good. These are the top 10. By these are, and this is my opinion. This is not every week I do a poll readers and ask them for their choice. I give them an option, but these are my choices.
Do your choices and the reader's choices usually sync up? Or usually
often not. There's one tweet in here that finished in last place with my readers, and I'll tell you which one.
I can't wait reading it.
Establish dominance over your therapist by saying no. Your time is up. If Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner taught me one thing, it's that when someone is mildly annoying, you should devote the remainder of your life to destroying them.
You know what I like about these so far? They're very aggressive. I don't remember two this aggressive right out of the box. Good.
I can't wait for the Toy Story sequel where the toys are just a couple of iPads talking to each other.
That one's sad. That made me sad.
Keep your friends close and the people who have photos of you from the 80s closer.
Did I send that one in?
Figure skating would be a lot more interesting if they replaced the ice with grass and the skaters with football players and they were playing football.
That's nice.
Some people complain that this is the hottest summer in the last 125 years, but I like to think of it as the coolest summer of the next 125 years.
Oh, very optimistic.
Glass is half full.
So optimistic.
I bet the hardest part of being a doctor is trying not to say, ew.
Oh, I am so with you. That's awesome.
In retrospect, I find it very easy to believe that Billie Jean was not his lover. At the very highest level of karate, they give you pants that fit, so you no longer need a belt.
Oh, that's funny. And good pronunciation on karate.
Thank you.
Very nice, Eric.
And that was the one, by the way, that finished in last place
among
my readers.
I know.
My readers. I don't know. I need to get better readers, I guess. More sophisticated readers. That's a great tweet. I love that.
You would think that something that might be borderline offensive would be the last one.
Well, people who do karate.
Yes.
The belts mean something.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
I made it to orange belt and then I quit.
Who were offended? How far, what long is orange?
The third one.
What? The third one after like.
There's white, then yellow, then orange, then green.
If you just said karate in class, what would that be met with? Disdain?
No, why?
Because it's karate.
Because forever people said karate, and then all of a sudden you had to pronounce it correctly, karate.
That's what SpongeBob says. I don't have to do what SpongeBob says. Karate.
And we're already at number 10. Luckily, I never started vaping, because there were many conclusive studies stating that I would never look cool doing it.
That one's as fresh as the day's headlines.
Yeah, it is.
That one is.
That's
wow.
That's Conan O'Brien. That's the only name that you might recognize out of all those tweets.
Oh, that was one of the
Conan
jokes.
Is one of the best of all the famous people who tweet. He's one of the funniest. He's reliably funny. And I don't think they come from his writers. These are not jokes that I necessarily see on his show or anything. But
normally, when a comedian is sending tweets out, is it written in joke form? Like, does it read the way it would read in his monologue? Or can you tell the difference between tweet jokes and monologue jokes?
You can often tell when they're stolen from the monologue. Bill Maher, for instance, will take his you'll see his jokes will come out in tweet form.
He tells jokes?
Wendy.
Oh, Wendy.
I'm
come
not a Bill
on.
Maher fan.
Come on.
Neither is James Corden. I love that whole situation going on.
Oh, did you have you talked about that?
No, we haven't, and it's really interesting. Bill Maher, I'll be honest with you, he seems very smug and annoying to me.
Well, he is smug, and I mean, I guess he can be annoying, but for the most part, you never watch his HBO show ever?
I don't like him. No, and was his stand-up, was he a good stand-up
comic? Yeah, he's a very good stand-up. Yeah,
I like his HBO show. In part, I really like when he has the guests on. He has
great.
He has a panel, and he also has several guests that he talks to one on one.
Yeah,
and the conversation is often very spirited and very smart.
He's very smart,
and
I'll give you that.
And mm-hmm. you know, yeah, he does. He pushes some borders, and I don't agree with him politically on everything. But I find that show pretty compelling. I like it.
When he did stand up, I worked with him twice, and he did little to no political humor back then. I mean, it's really strange because a lot of times guys that do political comedy, that's kind of the way they were all through their careers. He was just observational stuff. Every once in a while, a political bend would come into a joke, not often. And then his whole career after that, you know, the shows that he's been famous
that's
for
been
have
a
all
long
been
time,
political.
Right?
Yeah.
Was he a nice guy? Did you?
He was very nice to me.
Really?
Very nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
he seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't be nice off camera. I mean, and I don't mean that. I guess I do mean that in a nasty
way.
He
seems like a meanie.
He just seems like someone who would be pretty cutting. But
not only was he nice, both times I worked with him, we had really fun weeks. And then I didn't see him. There was a period of about 5 years where I didn't see him. And then I was in, you know, the restaurant Topo Gigio that's in Old Town? Mm-hmm. I was there with some friends, and he came in, and it had been 5 years, and he recognized me. And he was really, really, we picked up right where we left off.
Friends were really impressed.
They were, well, he wasn't that famous yet. Politically Incorrect came just after that.
Oh, I see. So, okay.
You know? So he was just another working
comic. So your
friends
were like, he was another annoying comedian coming up to Bill. So.
Well, I had to explain to them, he'll be famous one day. This will mean something at some point. It doesn't yet, but trust me, someday it will.
So. And I know everybody's probably aware of it by now. We were trying to get James Corden on the show, and it's next to impossible. But basically, Bill Maher was saying fat shaming should come back. Why did it go away? It should be here. And James Corden, on his show, went to say, you know, it goes above and beyond that. He's had a weight issue his whole life and was very funny in his response about it.
He was very funny, but ultimately pretty serious.
Yeah.
Because Corden, for anyone who doesn't know, he's got a weight problem. And he was basically telling Bill Maher that you know, people who have weight problems have enough shame on their own without you adding to it, and
that doesn't make people lose weight, you know.
Yes, and it was really well. I mean, it was about a 5 minute.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really long.
Didn't you think though that was the beginning of a bigger feud to come, and nothing happened much after that?
Yeah, why didn't it?
Maar didn't pick up on it or. On his show, he didn't mention or apologize for it, so the kind of thing he would do. But
but
that was really an interesting little exchange. And that was an example. When I heard Maher do that, I was like, oh, really? You know, you have to get into body shaming? And I like that Corden came back at him. Honestly.
He's no stranger to saying things that rile up people. I mean,
But does he truly believe that, or does he do it to rile people
up? It's good for business. Because then everybody talks about.
Well, he famously got fired from his show, Politically Incorrect. It was right after 9/11, and he was saying, and the common theme back then was these hijackers are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, you know, you can say a lot of things about these hijackers, but they're not cowards. It's not a cowardly thing to do. It takes a lot of bravery to hijack an airplane and know that you're going to die and get guided into it. I mean, the cowardice is not the right word to use, not the right concept. And this just enraged people, and he got fired for that. I mean, I think he was basically right.
So. Yeah, but I wonder in retrospect, because everybody was so. I mean, it was the worst thing that happened to most of us in our lifetimes was that day. So everybody was very sensitive to the handling of that situation. I wonder if he would have said things either differently or not at all, knowing the outcome.
Well, I don't think so. I think he's the kind of person who says what's on his mind. So you know.
Let's take a break, and then more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, by the way, from the Chicago Tribune.
That's what the theme song
is
for.
Yeah, they just sang that. I'm sorry.
Come on.
The man who drove his SUV through Woodfield Mall, Javier Garcia, they say the prosecutors want to try him as a terrorist. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is a clearly very sad situation that everything I've read suggests that this man is mentally disturbed in a very serious way. And I don't think that terrorism is the right word to describe what happened there. I don't know what I would do as a prosecutor. This may be another instance where the prosecutor puts a really heavy charge on, because I read somewhere that, that it could be up to life in prison, like 20 years to life in prison if you're convicted of terrorism. There's no indication that he's linked to any terrorist network or that he had any particular terrorist style agenda.
Right.
Isn't it domestic terrorism, though? People were in fear for their life at a public place. He had looked at maps and views of the Woodfield Mall.
Yeah, no, there's no question that, that he had, as far as I can tell, that he had planned this out and that he had mayhem on his mind. The question is, what's going on in his mind? And it seems as though this is a pretty clear case of a deep mental disturbance that calls for, you know, you got to keep the public safe from him. Clearly,
sure.
You got to treat someone like that. I don't know that it falls under the same category as even as a conventional crime. Certainly not terrorism. That seems like the wrong term. On the other hand, as I said, it might just be something where they're charging him with this extremely serious offense in an effort to get his attorney to bargain him down to the sort of, you know, destruction of property,
right,
and the kind of things that would call for a certain form of punishment. I don't, you know, it's one of those things. There was this story recently about the former student at the University of Chicago. Do you remember this story? He's like, he was a kid and he clearly had a lot of mental problems, and he was going after a police with a tire iron or a big metal pole.
Yeah.
And the cops shot him in the shoulder, as I recall, and just fired one shot and it stopped the situation. And this was a story, and I actually wrote about it at the time because I praised the police officer who said, you know, it's like, this was a situation where he clearly had every right to just ventilate the kid if he wanted to, but he saw what was going on and he retreated, and when the kid kept coming, he fired one shot. And the kid, and that stopped the situation. The kid lived. He disappeared a few weeks ago, and then he was found in the cornfields of Indiana, naked or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it was a terrible story. And the Sun-Times wrote it up, and I think we wrote it up a little bit too. And the thought was sort of like, well, this is just clearly someone who's got real problems. This isn't like a crime in the same sense of, you know, kids who decide they're going to use a tire iron to break windows or something, or this guy was going to be out. They charged this guy in Indiana with indecent exposure because he was like naked.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Yeah. I mean, I get that you have to file charges, but at the end of the day, this is just a severe mental health problem.
He needs help.
And I don't know when something like that rises to the level of a news story. When somebody is, when a police officer has to shoot somebody, that's a news story. But
sure.
But when you have you see people on the streets of Chicago fairly often who are clearly have clear mental problems, and they may be doing things that are,
they're not driving in a mall though.
No, I know. I'm not saying we should let the guy go or shrug this off, but I don't think it's terrorism.
So does this story play out differently if this man doesn't have some sort of mental issues? Are the charges different? Is the penalty going to be different?
I think so. My guess is that they will probably end up figuring out a way to maybe convict him of some sort of lesser charges, but some sort of, you know, insanity defense of some sort, because the guy needs help.
He needs help more than he needs prison.
Yes, and I don't think locking him away in a state prison for even a year is going to help him. And I think what you want to do is you want to try to help someone like that. You want to try to make sure that he doesn't do it again, because evidently he hadn't done it anything like this before. So this may have been a problem with medication. It may have been, you know, who knows what it was. The reporting on it, the information that's been released on it has not been all that comprehensive. But it's something where you hope that they figure out a way that this young man can end up living in some sort of supervised setting and make the most out of his life rather than just throw him away. So,
do you think part of it, and you started to touch on this a little while ago, Eric, is that the definition of terrorism is a very gray definition? Everybody's idea of what terrorism is. There was terror involved. I'm sure if you were walking through that shopping center, Woodfield, and you saw an SUV coming at you, terror would be one of the emotions.
It's broad. Yeah, it's a broad definition. And I think because they need it to be broad, because you need it to cover the situation where this guy's got some sort of political agenda and he does the exact same thing. And it's, this is, of course, you know, Wendy's looking at me like I'm sort of softy here. But
no, I am the softy. Kid needs help.
Well, it would
have
been. And if he had killed somebody, which certainly could have happened, I think it's just a miracle that nobody got hurt. I mean, you've seen the video, right?
Yep.
He's driving an SUV through the mall.
Yeah.
If he'd killed somebody, then I think we would be having a very different different discussion here. I don't think anybody was even hurt by this. It was just property damage.
Minor injuries, they had said.
Did they? Yeah. Maybe people running away or something like that. But in any case, when you have something like this where the guy just needs help, then that means what we ought to do. And the terrorism definition, you know, has to do with the amount of property damage that's involved, and when you have these kind of atmospheric
things. Does that figure into it? I didn't know that was part of the equation as dollar values.
Yes, I think wow. It does. And,
interesting.
And so you have the situation where the law is really broadly written in order to cover all kinds of contingencies, and it's a little bit like the law having to do with felony murder. And we talked about this in a segment earlier this month, I think, with an incident up in Lake County, where the homeowner shoots a kid and shoots and kills a kid who is trying to steal a car, allegedly trying to steal a car outside of his house, and then they charge the kid's friends with murder. So,
and that was changed too.
That was changed ruling. Too, and again, that may have just been like the prosecutor has this tool that he can use, but he's not actually going to use
right.
it on the person.
Right.
So, terrorism doesn't seem like it might not be the right thing, but this kid needs help.
Well, let's wait and see how it plays out before we get too angry about it.
That's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.